Hi all, it's Pastor Matt Kennedy here, looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Zig Ziglar, in his book Sign of the Times, tells the story of a thief, a man named Emmanuel Nenga. The year is 1887 and the scene is a small neighbourhood grocery store. Mr. Nenga is buying some turnip greens. He gives the clerk a $20 bill. As the clerk begins to put the money in the cash drawer to give Mr. Nenga his change, she notices that some of the ink from the $20 bill is coming off onto her fingers, which are damp from the turnip greens. She looks at Mr. Nenga, a man that she has known for many years, and she looks at the smudged bill. This man is a trusted friend. She has known him all her life. He can't be a counterfeiter, she thinks. She gives Mr. Nenga his change and he leaves the store. But $20 is a lot of money in 1887, and eventually the clerk calls the police. They verify the bill as counterfeit and they get a search warrant to look through Mr. Nenga's home. In the attic, they find where he has been reproducing money. He is a master artist and is painting $20 bills with brushes and paint. But also in the attic, they find three portraits that Nenga has painted. They seize these and eventually they sell them at auction. And they get $16,000 for them, which is a huge amount of money back in 1887, just over $5,000 per painting. The irony is that it took Nenga almost as long to paint a $20 bill as it did for him to paint a $5,000 portrait. It's true that Emmanuel Nenga was a thief, but the person from whom he stole the most was himself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would give me the words to speak, and each of us, myself included, Lord, the ears to hear. Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So I'd like to welcome everyone to the next part of our Bible series as we work our way through the Ten Commandments. So now we're looking through the Eighth Commandment, Exodus 20:15. Do you know what it is? You shall not steal. It is a commandment that we can all understand. It's clear and it's concise, and yet it's one that while we believe that it is good, we still often can struggle with this particular command. I think of the ads that they used to put up at the start of a movie, which says something along the lines of, you wouldn't steal a car, don't illegally download a movie then. It seems that for many in our society, Christians included, stealing is again a command that we have placed degrees on. I remember the advice that one of my early managers in the bank gave me when he said to me, Matt, if ever you're going to steal money from the bank, make it millions. Because when you get caught, you're going to be put in jail for just the same amount of time for stealing thousands. What he was saying was, don't think you're going to get away with taking what isn't yours. Big or small, the bottom line is that you're going to get caught and you will be punished from your actions. But here's the thing, it should never be about being caught, should it? It shouldn't matter about what we think, whether we think whether it's we're going to get away with it or not, because the truth is we would ultimately never get away with taking that which is not ours. While earthly eyes might miss the actions of evil that we do, there are heavenly eyes that are always attentive. God sees everything that we do. In fact, when you think about it, not only God sees your theft, but some of the angels do as well. There are eyes beyond the natural that see what we do. It's interesting that Australia, in its earliest settlement, was a penal colony out from Great Britain. Australia was a nation built on a convict foundation. It reminds me of a story I remember the late but great Ravi Zacharias told when he was lecturing in Sydney. Two Aussies appeared at the pearly gates in heaven, catching the doorman completely by surprise. He was not expecting any Australians in heaven because of the country's original settlement, as we said, as a penal colony. He asked them to please wait at the gates so that he could verify their credentials with St. Peter. For some reason, our folk humour, Peter has been assigned all authority in heaven as well. When Peter was informed of the applications from down under, he too was caught off guard and decided that he would need to accompany the doorman back to the pearly gates to talk to these unexpected visitors. But when they arrived at the entrance, behold, the Australians were gone. And so were the pearly gates. Okay, so we're on the same page with this. What then does the Bible mean when it says we shall not steal? Stealing, as it was meant to be recognized with the Hebrew word ganava, is referring to two sides of the same coin. The first is that we are familiar with being the act of, by stealth, taking away, carrying off by stealth that which is not one's own, i.e. thieving. But there's a secondary level to this word as well that I'm sure many of us may not be aware of. And it's described by Zola Left Ministries as being the deceptive inner disposition that accompanies the action, which ultimately becomes a form of self-deception. Stealing, like so many of the commands that we have looked at, again, it's not just a physical action that goes against this command, but also the matter of attitude that goes with this, with the mind and the heart. And we've seen this time and time again, haven't we? God is constantly looking at the heart of man. His issue is just as much with the deceptive heart and the attitude of the person as it is with the actual physical crime itself. Our loving and holy God, he sees stealing as a major issue. And this command covers areas that none of the other commands specifically deal with either. Think on it. The first four commandments, as we've seen, deal with how we should deal with God, our relationship with God, and our mutual benefit of doing that. The fifth commandment is it's family-centric, as it spells out the importance of the family unit and protects it. The sixth commandment, where God says you shall not murder, is guarding or protecting the sanctity of life. The seventh commandment protects the sanctity of the institution of marriage, while this commandment is designed to protect the property and possessions of the individuals. It is again interesting that all of these commandments actually come back to our relationship with God. Think that one through. Every one of the commandments that we've looked at so far actually come back to our relationship with God. Okay, so when we look at this commandment, what's the revelation about God that we receive then? What insight does this commandment give to us regarding the character of God? Well, firstly, we can see that God values our relationship with him, which is what I was saying before. God wants us to trust him in all things. When we take things that are not our own, we are telling God that we don't trust in his provision for us, or that we're rebelling against his call for us to undertake honest work for our livelihood. Either way, God knows that theft in its many different forms will damage relationships, both with himself as well as with others. And given God values relationships, he's put this command in place, you shall not steal. We also learn that God takes the idea of ownership seriously. Ultimately, the ownership of this or that comes back to the Lord. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." In other words, we recognize that ultimately God owns everything that there is. Not a bad assumption, given that he is the creator God who created and sustains all things. Reminds me a little bit of a story about when a scientist challenged God to a contest of who could make a better human being. God tells him that he's on, okay? At which time the scientist, in great delight, bends over to pick up some dust to make his human being. Then God says, "No, no, you go and find your own dust." Our baseline is that God owns everything. But under the basis of this framework, we still find an underlying idea of personal ownership. That is, while God has ownership rights over everything, he also has chosen to allow humanity to have dominion and a form of ownership over things as well. If this was not the case, then there would be no basis behind the command, "You shall not steal." How can you have stolen that which is not somebody else's in the first place? Think of it this way. God owns everything already. While we receive things, we came into this world with nothing, didn't we? And we will leave this world with no material possession. We don't take anything with us when we leave. Everything that we have while we are living here in this world has been given and we have received. The issue has been that even as Christians, we tend towards idolization of our possessions or achievements as if they are purely due to our own efforts. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "What do you have that you did not receive? For then you received it. Why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" Think on that question from Paul. Does this relate to you also? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Is that you? Okay, so God owns everything, and yet we also have personal ownership of things. You might ask the question, how does that work though? And the answer is that our ownership comes in the form of what we call as being stewards of things. Jesus describes this situation in the parable of talents, as found in Matthew 25:14-30. What I mean by this is, while God owns everything that there is to own, you and I have been put in charge of many things as well. We have, in a sense, become stewards of God's belongings, and we have been called to be good stewards. We're actually held to account for how we have managed and used the things that God has blessed us with. The interesting thing, though, is that as stewards, we have been called not to hold tight to these things we are in possession of, but to be generous with the blessings that we have received. On the other side of the coin, this command demands that we also do not just take from others what they have been made stewards over, but we are to be content in what we have, and we are to place our trust in God for our needs. And this leads us well into our next question. What is the confrontation for us? What insight does this command now give us about our own character? As we've looked at earlier, the command, "You shall not murder," is a command that protects the sanctity of a person's life, while the command, "You shall not steal," has been put in place to protect the quality of the life that we have received. You see, when we steal, not only do we affect another person negatively, but we also dishonor God. By stealing, we are, in essence, as we've said, telling God that we don't trust in his provision for us. God is our great shepherd. He looks after us and provides for our needs, and we place our trust in him. Don't forget who we're talking about here. This is the God who knew you before you were even born. This is the God who knows the very numbers of the hairs of the head that you have. For some people that's easier, for others it's harder. According to Psalm 23, this is the God who prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. The big confrontation for us is to actively choose to honor God in all of our dealings, all of our dealings. Ephesians 5:11 tells us, "Take no part in the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead expose them." God knows our heart. This is a matter of the heart, as we said at the start. And he can see our thoughts and our plans. Again, as we have seen in many, if not all, of these commandments, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can have victory in this area of our life. God wants us to be workers of light, not workers of darkness. He calls for our light, the light of Jesus, to shine, exposing not only the evil deeds around us, but also exposing our own evil desires hidden in every nook and cranny of our own lives. We can only achieve this. We can only achieve this in relationship with God. On another note, given that we are stewards of ultimately God's possessions, we are held to account by God for our stewardship over the things that God has given us. We are also called to be content in what we have and should endeavor to be good stewards of what we have. We must exercise stewardship in a way that brings out the best in what we are stewards of, in a way that brings glory to God. God makes it clear that stealing from others does not bring that glory to him that he desires and deserves. Human nature apart from God just seems to rally against this command that God has given. We've just received our contents insurance bill against theft. It's huge. Because people have rejected God and his commands not to take things that are not their own. You shall not steal, because humanity has fallen in sin. And unfortunately, we need to cover ourselves for theft. What a world it would be if we didn't have to do that. We only need to look at the recent Black Lives Matter protests sparked by the death of Mr. George Floyd. Many people took a just cause against racism and corruption and unfortunately used it as an excuse to steal and destroy things that were not their own. We've seen it night after night on TV. Humanity seems to look for any excuse that they can to take that which is not rightly theirs. So with this knowledge, what is our instruction then? What does this commandment mean that we should do or do differently under the grace of our God? Well, let me share with you a few practical things that we can make sure that we do or don't do with this command. Firstly, we're called to be content with what we have. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Our God is a God of relationship. He wants for us to rely on him and him alone. Stealing is not showing trust in God. It brings no glory to God, and it is a terrible witness for God. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." We're called to respect the property of others. Don't steal. Instead, do honest work to gain the things that you require or desire. In doing so, you place your trust in God. You can be generous with others, and you can bring glory to our Lord. Secondly, when you do work, be honest in your dealings both with your employer as well as with those you serve. Don't steal from others through false claims and false measures. That is, don't rip people off when the opportunity arises. Be fair and accurate with your measures. For instance, a kilo is a kilo. A meter is a meter. An hour is 60 minutes. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving." Basically, be honest and beyond reproach in all your dealings, because our Lord has a particular interest in what you do. Thirdly, don't commit fraud. Proverbs 10:9 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out." Don't misuse funds that you have access to. Don't be a perpetrator or have any part in scams. When I was in a bank, this was a huge issue, and it still is. Don't promise something just to get what you want when you know that it or you will never deliver what you have promised. Don't commit fraud. Fourthly, if you owe somebody money, then make sure you pay them back in full. Psalm 37:21 says, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." Pay back your debts. That is, pay what you owe. Romans 13:8 says, it takes it to a whole new level. "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." While there are many more examples, I'm just going to finish with this one. Proverbs 19:5. "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape." Basically, don't steal another person's reputation or mar another person's character through false witness and lies. One of the most valuable things that a person has can be their integrity. When you gossip or lie or smear the reputation of another person falsely, you are stealing from them. And God says that you will not go unpunished for doing such a thing. Don't do it. Okay, So finally, what is the promise that we receive here? Well, let me go to another verse that I can emphasize what we have in store for us as we trust in the Lord. So Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." The bottom line is that we need to place our trust in God. When we steal, whether it be money or goods or by ripping somebody off or by not paying someone or by not working the hours that we're paid to work or by cheating on our taxes, falsely destroying the reputation of another or not giving to God, that which is God, with our tithes and offerings, then we dishonor the very one who gave you and I everything worth living for. When we steal, we are telling God that we don't trust him to supply our needs. God has called for each of us to do a fair day's work, and that we don't value other people in the way that God has called for us to do when we don't do that. As I've said before, the Lord takes theft very seriously, and the consequences of sin is dramatic. We see this in 1 Corinthians 6, 9-10, where it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Wow, it's a big call, isn't it? It's a huge call. Take Paul's advice on this. You don't want to be someone who does not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not a good thing. The word here says, do not be deceived. It says this because so many people are deceived and they think that their small acts of thievery don't even deserve to register as a sin. But here's the thing. You and I don't get to choose what counts and what doesn't. Only God does. He has made his warning clear for all people. Do not be deceived, you shall not steal. Thieves have been included in this list of all the people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's probably both you and I. But even in the midst of that hopelessness, we can find a light in the darkness. We can see that light through Jesus. The passage continues on and tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:11, And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Even when we have fallen in this area, even when we have broken this commandment, there is still a chance of redemption. We can find freedom in Jesus. We are sanctified and justified because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross when he died for our sins. That is, when he died for what you stole, when you stole that money or that item, big or small, when you stole that 20 minutes at work or the reputation of someone that you've smeared with lies or innuendo, when you stole from God by not giving back to him generously as you knew that you should, Jesus has it all covered. He died so that you could have life. He died so that you could be freed from your sin of stealing and brought back into relationship with God. Jesus is your only hope for restoration. So the big question is, do you know Jesus? Have you asked him into your life to be your Lord and Savior? Forgiveness for the things that you have stolen and done wrong, and every one of us is guilty in some way of this, is waiting for you. Let me encourage you now, turn from your sin and ask Jesus into your life. Do it right now. Don't delay. You won't regret it. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for your love for us, that, Lord, you would give us such a command as do not steal. Lord, you not only give that for others' benefits, but for the benefit of us as well. Lord, I just ask that you would search our heart, that you would help us to change our attitude in regards to the many things, Lord, that we may do without even realizing it, Lord, whether it be stealing from others, their reputation, or Lord, time or just that, you know, little item from the office or whatever it might be, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to be upfront and honest and upstanding in beyond reproach, Lord, in the things that we do. Oh, Lord, I just thank you, though, for Jesus, for the fact that even while we have failed in this area, Lord, we can still have that redemption, that relationship with you, which was once broken, is now put together again because of Jesus. Lord, for those that don't know you, for those that don't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just knock on their hearts, Lord, and that they would open that door. And they would come to a saving knowledge of you. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name.